The message this Sabbath is in part touching on the topic of mothers. And yet I've chosen to put a different touch or perspective on this Mother's Day message in looking at the Bride of Christ. And it can get a little confusing and a little funny if we just speak of the Bride of Christ as the mother, because it's not. I'm not going to bring that confusion. But when we consider the Bride of Christ, and we're going to see in the scriptures that I'm presenting, that the Bride of Christ has mothering characteristics, has a nature like a mother. And in many respects, there are those who can see that the ministry of the church is a nurturing and a caring place, and is used of God to bring maturity to the saints. That she, the church, is the means by which not only the church grows, but discipleship takes place. And with that, that's the aspect I want to touch on as the mother, or the character of a mother within the church. And I've been impressed, this is after a number of years, in understanding the love that God has for his bride, the church. And since that time, I've tried to be careful not to speak of the church in terms which are of strong rebuke or of rejection and those types of things, because I have to understand, or we need to understand, that Jesus loves the church. Jesus loves the bride. And yes, we can point out this and that that is wrong. We can say the false doctrine that has entered in and is being tolerated or condoned. And yet still, Jesus loves the church. To present the Bride of Christ, the church universal, this is not just in the United States, but around the world, all true believers, that we understand that it is the church that God uses to bring transformation into the world, to bring his transformation. That it is the church that is the primary way in which the saints are nurtured, which the saints are raised to maturity in Christ. Just like a mother raises her children in nurture and love. But the Lord God, Jesus Christ, loves the church. The church is his beloved bride. And we are in the church, are the object of his love. Yes, God so loved the world. John 3:16, we understand that. God so loved the world. That's everyone. However, he holds a special love, a special affection for his bride. And so out of respect for the bride, out of respect for the church, presenting her as God sees her, that we who are in Christ, we who are not members of a particular local body, but beyond that, the greater importance is that we belong, that we make up the bride, that we belong to the church of God, the people of God. As we saw in 1 Peter chapter 2, the apostle speaks to us regarding this special place that God has placed us as a church, as his people. And jumping down in verse 4 in chapter 2, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. Now he's referring to that stone that was rejected by men. In verse 4, he's referring to Jesus himself, that he is the precious stone, that he is a living stone. But we are like him. Verse 5, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. I want to look at that for a moment. You notice that it says that we are like living stones composing a spiritual house. A spiritual house. That's a dwelling place for God's people. That's a dwelling place that honors God in everything. That's where the Father rules. That's the house that God made. My Father's house is a song. I should have researched it a little bit more closely, that speaks of my Father's house. And it's rather interesting that in this house there's things to do and there's fun that is had and everybody's invited, and it's just like this open neighborhood meeting place, my Father's house. That spiritual house is built for us. That spiritual house is built by us. We, living stones, compose this spiritual house, the dwelling place of God. We are not only invited to it, we are part of it. This is how God sees us, his people. This is how God recognizes his bride. We are a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. The priest of old, described and presented to us through the Old Testament, the order of Aaron, the Levites, their service before God in the tabernacle and then later in the temple. They had a specific place and a specific importance. They were the mediators between God and man. That's very important. They were the representatives of everything relating to the ways of God. If you wanted to know something about God, you go to the priest. You may have to go to the tabernacle, but you go to the priest, and he would find the answer for you. He would know what the mind of God was on the matter. Well, we are not like the priests of old. We are under a superior covenant. And we do not make sacrifices before God in the same way. And yet, we present spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God. This holy priesthood, you and I are the ones who go before the Lord. You and I experience the presence of God. You and I also go out and we mediate. Not that we're the Savior, but that we are representatives. We are as ambassadors. And we present the truth and the reality of God to others. Well, Pastor, I'm not called to, you know, the ministry. I'm not called to enter into the clergy status. You know that that's a man-made division, this clergy and laity. That's something that is imposed upon the order that God has established. And it has its similarities, I believe, to the biblical order, but the separation is unbiblical. This enters into the topic which I preached on last Sabbath about we as servants of God, and we are the ministers. And when I say we, I mean you all, including myself. But anyway, all of us are priests before God. All of us present spiritual sacrifices which are acceptable. You know what is acceptable before God? It's not an automatic thing. That is part of the nurturing and the raising up, the maturing in Christ, that you know what is acceptable to God. Like the sons of Aaron, the two oldest sons of Aaron who presented an unacceptable offering in incense before the Lord, and they were struck down. Peter says that our offering, our spiritual sacrifices are acceptable to him. Does that mean anything goes? No. It means that we know what it is which is acceptable, and we present it to God. This is, again, the bride of Christ. This is the church. This is the people of God. I've noted a number of things in this passage, which I'd like to share with you. As we went over that we are representatives of the spiritual life, of the life that is transformed by the living God, you and I represent that. If someone wants to see what the transformed life is about, they should look at you. They should be able to see that in your life. Secondly, that we are, as priests, that we dwell in the relationship of love with God. I'm not talking about, you know, you sitting there at church, sitting there during church service. I'm talking about all of your life. Yes, it includes today, but that we dwell in this relationship of love. That is our privilege because we are holy priests. We also remember where we came from. Look back and look down in verse 10. He says that once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. That's where we came from. But now I have been cleansed. I've been made acceptable. I am part of the household of faith. As a matter of fact, God calls me his child. I am his, and he is mine. That is the same for all who are in Christ, that you are the children of God. You are in this household. Thirdly, that we are able to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Back in verse 5. The privilege of coming before the Lord and presenting spiritual sacrifices. Paul says that we are to present ourselves as living sacrifices. Romans chapter 12. Living sacrifices. That which is acceptable to God. Also, we are to live and to act and to speak under his authority, and we make known the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness. Going back to 1 Peter 2, verse 9. And to know the excellencies of him means that you've been taught. You've been taught by the nurturing within the church, and you've been taught in the Spirit that you know Christ correctly, that you can both be a defender of the faith and one who proclaims the wonderful things of God, the power of God, that you walk and understand the authority of God. And lastly, that we as priests before God proclaim the glory of God. And because we proclaim the glory of God, we also combat the lies of the enemy, the lies and the errors of men in their misunderstandings about God. We live in an age in which there is a lot of relativism. As a matter of fact, that's preferred to the idea that there are absolutes. And the reason it's preferred is because there's no accountability. Can you imagine someone saying, you know, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and we present the scriptures, and the other person who's hearing this says, well, that's good for you. That's true for you, but not for me. It's this relativistic idea. We present the truth of God's word in the power of God, not the power of human argument. We present the truth of God's word in the authority of the living God. As Jesus himself declares that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, and it is he who is sending us, we as a nation of priests before God. So that is how God views the church. That is how God not just views the church, but what he has made of us in the church. And yes, we are beloved in the Father. He presents to us as one who loves his Son and prepares a bride that is fit for him. I'm jumping to Proverbs chapter 31. And just in brief, I'm not going to go over the entire passage that was read earlier from verse 10 to 31. But I do believe that the bride of Christ is seen in aspects of the virtuous woman. Of this woman who is far more precious than jewels, more valuable than rubies. If you look with me in verse 11, where it says, the heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. That is how Jesus views his bride. That his trust is in the church because she is trustworthy. In verse 12, it says, she does him good and not harm all her days, all the days of her life. Yes, it is very easy to see how that fits the wife and the husband relationship. But may you understand that Jesus adores his wife, adores his bride, and she responds by doing good to him. That she does him no harm. And what are the days of her life? Forever. Eternity. I believe that this is the only marriage in which the husband and the wife can say to one another, I will love you forever. And it will be true. It's not to say that when a man and a wife say to each other, I love you forever, the expression we understand. But even marriage here on earth, even marriage among the saints, when it comes to heaven, Jesus says of that, that there will not be any giving and taking in marriage. So even that relationship, as beautiful as it is, will have its termination. But the marriage of Jesus to his bride is forever. Verse 20. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. This is an aspect, a description, I believe, of the church in the compassion that she has. And it encompasses various ministries, the feeding the poor, clothing the naked, visiting the sick, visiting the imprisoned, all of those things out of the nature that she has. Going on to verse 25, or excuse me, verse 21. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all of her household are clothed in scarlet. You know that the wife wasn't the sole provider. The primary provider was her husband. We're looking at this in figurative terms. That is, the Lord is providing for the church, his bride, and she takes from with that provision. And has many beautiful things and has provisions for her household that she clothes them in scarlet. Now, scarlet is considered a very fine and expensive, and when it's relating to the snow, it better be warm. So she cares for her family, and that is the church. That is the church that is doing the ways of God and trusting in the provision of God. Verse 25, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. That's someone, that is a wife that is confident, that she's not afraid of what the future holds. That is the church. That needs to be the understanding that we are to be confident because God holds our future. It is God who governs the affairs even of a nation. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Again, a picture of the church. A picture of the bride of Christ, that she speaks and she teaches that which is good and right. That there is wholesomeness, not only in her words, but in her example as well. She is not idle. This is a beautiful picture of the excellent wife, of the worthy woman. And yes, such a one is worth more than jewels, is worth more than wealth. Because it's this woman. And we might say in the human terms, on the human examination of this, that who taught this woman? Did she just rise up out of the dust? This superwoman? This perfect woman? No. She was raised up by another excellent woman. She had the example of a godly father and mother. But understanding that which God has made on the spiritual reflection, on the church, the bride of Christ, we know that the beauty of the Lord, just as it says that charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, verse 30, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. To the world, the church is ugly. The church is to be despised. The church is to be ridiculed. The bride of Christ is something to be rejected, and you don't want to be like her. But to the Son, to Jesus, the Lord, his bride is beautiful. His bride is that which he laid down his life for. And with that, he sets an example for all husbands, especially those in the faith, that all husbands are to walk in. And we reflect on these things. We understand that, yes, Lord, as you have influenced my life through my mother, and you think on yours, that we praise God for her. That even though there was, there may have been weakness and frailty and mistakes made, yet God used her in your life. How much so for the church, that God used the church in raising up living stones, that God used his people, that holy priesthood, to nurture, to affect the lives of not just a few, but all who belong to him. May this be to the praise of God. At the close of our service, some of you have noticed a vase of roses. And in keeping with some unspoken tradition about presenting flowers on Mother's Day, I'd like for the children, if your mother is present, that you would present a rose to your mother or grandmother. And if your mother is not here, and you can take one to her, I invite you to take one as well. Or if you know of a mother, if you know of a woman who's not present here, you're invited to take one as well. I'd like to pray before our closing hymn, and may we take seriously that being part of the bride, we need to understand our relationship with God. We need to hold dear, Lord, you love the church, and I'm in the church, but do I love the church? It was a brother in the Lord who said to me one time that he loved Jesus, but he had a hard time loving the Father. And it was rather strange to me. It seemed a bit off that he would tell me. Now, he was speaking in confidence, and I didn't, rebuke him or anything. It was rather odd. How is it that you can say that you love Jesus because we talk about Jesus, because Jesus was on the cross, because Jesus did all this teaching, and yet not understand that the Father is the one who loved you and sent his Son? May we understand the love relationship that we're in, and that fosters to us that we're to love one another, that we also love the church. May we not fall to the temptation of correcting, oh, well, you this, and oh, well, they that. Not that correction doesn't need to be done, but with the respect, this is the bride of Christ. I've encountered some who have taken an attitude that those outside of the church, in order to welcome them, we have to get our act together. That we don't have it. That we're messed up. There's even someone who says that the church is just messed up entirely. Would they slap the Lord in the face and say, you have chosen the wrong bride? They wouldn't say that, but would they recognize what they're saying? The bride of Christ, do we really love the church? Are we loving our Lord in that way? Or do we think that, well, we could dismiss the church and I can love God the Father? That is a lie. May we be careful of this. As I lead in prayer, may we present ourselves to the Lord, submit ourselves to him. May the Lord, by his Spirit, examine us that we fall in love with the church that we're a part of. May we fall in love with the bride of Christ once again to love, thank you, God, that we are part of that which you love and I love. Let's pray.